away by what we do.
So we're way ahead of the game in terms of technology at the moment, which is great news. Stuff to teach other people. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Really great to welcome you today. I want to take a little bit of your time just continuing to build our church. Amen. Continuing to help us to build God's church. Isn't this amazing nation that we live in? We live in an amazing nation. We live in an amazing nation of inventors. Does anybody know what Scottish people or Scotland has invented? Anybody give me any ideas?
TV.
Simon?
TV.
TV? So who invented the TV?
Logie Baird.
John Logie Baird, yes.
Macintosh.
Yes, the Macadam guy didn't invent tarmac, okay? Tar and Macadam are two different things that they brought together, and the Scottish guy invented Macadam, which was an early form of roads, okay?
Penicillin,
yes.
Telephone.
Yes, telephone. Right. A bit of a dispute there, a bit more, yeah?
I was going to say telephone, but light bulb.
Yes, well, Thomas Watt was involved, certainly, James.
The restoration of the,
yes, that's a discovery, I think, certainly.
The steam engine.
Now, I don't want to break anybody's heart here, but it was a development upon an Englishman's invention in the first place. I can only tell you the truth from the pulpit, okay? John?
Logarithms.
Wow, I don't like him, whoever he was. But I spent months and months trying to figure out those things. Bob? Yes, the Dutch, there's a Dutchman here. He might dispute that with you, but amen. Helen?
Tyres,
excellent. Yes, Steve? Come on, yes. But Dorian? Children? No? Sorry, shortbread. Awesome. Apparently, shortbread is a thing. If you go anywhere in the world, you take a bit of shortbread with you. They love the fact that it's connected to Scotland.
Beautiful scenery.
Oh, yes. Okay, we're going to draw to a close. But all these inventions are amazing, aren't they? But, you know, it took somebody to really discover their gift to invent those things in order for those things to be discovered and then to have the amazing impact that they had on the world. And I tell you that because I want to talk today about our gifts and our abilities to have an impact on the world that we live in, around us, and, of course, on the body of Christ or in the body of Christ. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These examples I've used because I want to talk about our gifts. These inventors discovered their gift and then used it for the common good and in many ways changed the world. And I know there's hundreds of inventions by the mighty Scots. So I want to ask you the question today, are you gifted for God? Because as we develop as a church and as we understand from Psalm chapter 1 that when we as individuals develop, we become mature like trees growing. Like a tree grown with differing strengths, bearing fruit with strength which develops as a result of storms which come our way. So a stronger trunk and stronger leaves and stronger branches. But sometimes I think we can spend our time actually majoring in growing the wrong way. What I mean by that is not reading your Bible and praying and all that sort of stuff. All that's important, okay, all the fundamentals. But what I'm talking about is actually finding what our gift is given by God. And then using that gift for the common good. Because then you're fulfilling your purpose, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're actually doing what it is that God has given you to do. Now, you may be multi-talented, but that's a nice problem to have, isn't it? You may have only one talent, but you still got to do your best to use that talent. Now, we're going to look a little bit in 1 Corinthians in a moment. So, when we force ourselves to use gifts which we're not really very good in, how do we feel? How do we feel when we're forcing ourselves to use gifts that we're not very good in? Stressed?
Insecure?
Sometimes we can feel like it's the right thing to do. Because when we're in a small church, you know, we sometimes have to meet needs. Okay? But as we as a church grow and develop, more and more people will meet those individual needs because they'll have the individual gifts with which to meet those needs. So while we're small, yes, we need to live a bit more sacrificial, but we too need to develop an understanding of our own talents given by God so that we can grow and help the church by fulfilling our purpose within it. But I want to ask you this question. Are you excited about your spiritual life? You see, sometimes as we develop especially as we develop years as a disciple, we feel less excited about our spiritual lives. Maybe you've even asked yourself, am I a disciple at all? Maybe your feelings are, you know, I'm not feeling great. I'm not feeling the excitement. Now I'm doing the right things. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I come to church and I don't kick the dog. And, you know, there's certain things that we've got in place, some fundamentals that we do. And, you know, all those things are good. But sometimes we can say that even with doing all those things, sometimes we're not truly satisfied. And maybe you're wondering, what's it all about? I made the decision. I'm following Jesus, but I still don't feel that deep satisfaction. I think the problem we can have is that we can become too religious and therefore not feeling like we need to contribute to the body that we're part of. But when we understand we're a contributory part of it, we can then start fulfilling our purpose and then start feeling the satisfaction that God gives us by fulfilling that purpose. We come to church, read our Bibles, reach out to people, don't swear, don't get drunk, don't smoke, but we're still not satisfied. So if you want to grow, see if you're growing like the tree that we see in Psalm chapter 1, you are producing and you are bearing fruit. Your branches are becoming, they're growing stronger. Your trunk is developing strength in the place it needs to withstand the storms. You're developing resilience. Your trees, your leaves look amazing and shining and beautiful. And when people look at you, when people look at the tree, they're impressed by how amazing and healthy the tree looks. Just like when you're doing well, that's what people see when they look at you. They think there's somebody there maturing and feeling that sense of satisfaction and feel like they're serving their God. But if you don't feel this way, what could be wrong? Remember though, let's not get too depressed. Remember what you do have. You love God, right? You're still here. You come every Sunday, that's grab. And you come on Fridays, you're part of family group, you reach out to people. You still love God, you still love his people, you still love the church, you still love it when people become disciples. Isn't it awesome when someone makes their decision to become a Christian? You still love that. And you still love it when we as a group have victories. It's an amazing thing, but sometimes when we're not maturing, we don't see growth. We want to be effective, we want to be productive, but we are not effective and we're not productive. It's important then, at that moment, that we don't settle for religiousness. The standard of Christendom around us is not the standard we want to aim for. The standard of Christianity is biblical standard of Christianity, and that we are striving to grow. On a scale of 1 to 10, ask yourself, how effective do you feel you're being for God right now? On a scale of 1 to 10. As you all calculate that. Some quicker than others because some are more gifted in that area than others. 4, 5, 6, 7. But you know, don't you? It could be a 9 or even a 10. And it's not a good feeling to have when you don't fulfill your purpose. It's like going out in the morning without cleaning your teeth. Yesterday, I got out of bed and prayed and read, and all I was going to do in the day was do my slabs at the front of the house. So I thought, I don't need to wash. I don't need to brush my hair or put gel in it. I don't need to do anything to it, but I do need to clean my teeth. Because if somebody walks by, I can't imagine talking to someone and be like, hello, how are you? You'd be afraid. I'd be afraid of that person smelling my breath and they're looking at me like this. And you don't want to stand downwind of someone when you've got bad breath. Because they're not listening to you, are they? All they can do is smell your bad breath. You know, that's what life is like when you go out in the day and you're not really fulfilling. You're not confident. You're wondering what people feel. You're not going to be face to face with people. Perhaps if after years of ineffectiveness, it's time for you in your faith life to ask yourself, have you really discovered your gift and are you using it for God? Because when you do, you will be using the gift that God gave you for his glory. And then you will be satisfied because you'll be effective and productive, the disciple that God intended for you to be. Kenny Miller. Well, he's not here. Kenny Miller is a Scottish striker and he used to play for Celtic. He's also played for Rangers. Okay, he scored over 200 goals in his professional career and recently he moved to the Vancouver Whitecaps. So he moved to Canada. But the Vancouver Whitecaps, they don't ice hockey. It's not an ice hockey team. It's not a basketball team or a baseball team or a basket weaving team. It's a team, it's a football team, you know, playing presumably in the major league football. See, there's nothing wrong with ice hockey and there's nothing wrong with all these things, but that's not Kenny Miller's gift. He scored over 200 goals. Scotland need him to keep playing football if they're going to qualify for any tournament in the future. It would be ridiculous and a complete waste of time for him to move to any other area of life because that's his gift. He's a great striker. But once you find your gift, remember it is a gift. And a gift is very, it's important to remember what it means. It's given to you. It's handed to you. It's something that you are uniquely able to do and it's given to you by God. And when you start using it for him, you start getting that sense of satisfaction, like having clean teeth. A satisfaction that motivates you to continue to grow and give to God. And you know, the great thing about using your gift and being satisfied as you do so is other people notice. And other people are inspired by you. Other people are inspired by how satisfied and how happy you look and how effective you are being. And they want to know more. And you inspire other people too. So much of our inner satisfaction comes from our own sense of worth. And that is fed by whether we're being effective or not. Everybody wants to be affected. Everybody wants to have value or wants to be appreciated. I wonder how long even a disciple can last without being effective. You might settle for religiousness, but is that really the life that God wants you to live? You know, I remember when I discovered basketball, I was 13, I was playing badminton on one side of a sports hall, and I saw this ball bouncing up and down on the other side of the sports hall, and I wondered what that was all about. I'd never played basketball, so I went over there, just left the badminton, and I was actually playing with Nicola, playing badminton, left it, and I went to, and started playing basketball on the other side, and I actually quite enjoyed the feel of the ball, and putting it, and learning how to shoot, and bouncing it, and it was a free, you could run around, and move around with the ball, and I was really enjoying it. I had a latent ability to play basketball that I'd never really discovered up until that moment. I enjoyed it so much that I just dropped every other sport and I completely focused on basketball and became a pretty good basketball player. Not at 47, maybe at 18. And so I started practicing and I developed the skill that I believe that God had put within me. There was a skill there, but you know what? If I'd never seen that guy playing basketball on the other side of that, maybe I'd been forcing myself to play badminton all the time. You know, I like badminton, but I'm not brilliant at it, you know. Back, forth, back, all that stuff. Not good when you're a big fella. Badminton wasn't my skill, but basketball was something I could play much, much better at. And so I discovered my skill. And I want you to think, maybe there is a skill that you haven't discovered yourself. You know, I got great confidence. In fact, it was a worldly confidence, okay? I was getting a lot of people taking notice of me in a very worldly way. But then when I became a disciple and when I became a minister, I was able to play basketball in all the cities that I was leading churches in. So I would join the local league basketball team, and that's one of the trophies that I talked about last time I preached. All the trophies that Ella has in her bedroom came as a result of that time. And so I began to be more effective as a basketball player. But we must understand that we may have gifts that we're not fully developing. We're not fully using because we haven't understood what they are. And sometimes I think we must understand, we must continually assess how effective we are because each of us has a God-given gift to use. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. So let's read a good portion of Scripture. You know, it's really important to open your Bibles because there's something so amazing about actually seeing the Word of God, isn't there? You can listen to me. That's fine, but you know what? There's something great about actually looking at the words and saying, this is God. God is speaking to me. Yeah, Ben's reading it, but this is God speaking to me. There's something very powerful about the Bible. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led away to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of feeling by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to become part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given them greater honour to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What an amazing passage of Scripture. But isn't it just amazing to hear God's words? To hear the wisdom oozing from it. It's a wonderful passage. But I want to use it today in the context of gifts. I want to ask you to ask the question to yourself. Are you using your gift? Firstly, let's break this passage down. Let's look at what it tells us about a deeper understanding and the nature of gifts. Let's look at verses 4-6 at the very at the beginning of first chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. You know, we've got to understand that there are many, many different gifts. There are many gifts, that there is enough gifts for everybody here to have an individual gift. There are different kinds of service, but they all come from God. And they should all not only come from God, but that they should all be used for him. And the appreciation of the gift that you have should only be given to God. If you can sing beautifully, if you can write music, if you can multiply four-digit numbers in your head, if you can fix computers or cycle up and down hills, you've got to understand that God gave you those abilities. And by the way, if you're a mother, God gave you that ability too. But what's really important is to remember that God is the source of our talent. It's something we need to remember in order for us to make the most of that gift that God gives us. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom." And on and on and on we see a list of gifts. You know, in this passage we understand that our gifts should be used. And they should be used for the benefit of everyone. The Bible tells us that we should not hide our light under a bushel. We should use our talents and use our gifts. It's godly to share our gifts with others and to give back. Isn't it much easier to give back when you see something as a gift that you've received? When you realize you're given something, it's much easier to give something back. We have been given gifts. Let's look in verse 21. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." You know, I've learned a lot more about this phrase, indispensable, recently. What does it mean to be indispensable? If something is indispensable to someone, it means that that someone cannot do without it. Isn't that amazing? How do you feel when you don't feel too great? Do you feel like coming along to church, or do you feel like staying at home? You see, the Bible says here that you are indispensable. We need you to exist. When I'm not feeling great, I'm going to force myself to come to church and just talk about it and be open, because we as a body need each other. Let's read on. "And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special, and our parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. What our presentable parts need no special treatment." God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. And its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. You know, what's really important is that you do not belittle your gift. You may not think your gift is super duper, but it's a gift given you by God. Do not belittle what God has given you. Whatever it is, when you've discovered it, it can be used for God's glory. You may not think that you can change the world. Who remembers the film Schindler's List? And that amazing scene where Schindler is taken away and has to leave them, but then all the people that he's saved on his list are standing in front of him, and the guy gives him a ring, and on the ring it says, "He who saves one life saves the world entire." You know, isn't it Jesus that preached to thousands and thousands in crowds, yet focused down on just a few to give them his essential message to carry on his mission? We should never belittle what we are able to do. God has given us that gift, and we are able to impact people. Even one person at a time will change the world. Have you got any thoughts about your gift yet? Have you thought to yourself, well, what is my gift? Have you begun to think about that? Well, don't disparage it, because it is given to you by God himself. And then a final encouragement, verse 13 of chapter 13. "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." You should never, should you today or in the future, never become sure of the gift that God has given you. There's one thing you can still do, and that is love people. You can still love. In fact, we're told that love is the greatest gift that we can give to one another. So, what is your gift? Ask yourself, what is your unique, personal, significant contribution to the world? I want to talk about just discovering your gifts briefly. Understand your gift like this, that number one, it is unique. It's unique. Whatever the gift is, another person might have it, but that other person is not you. And so the way that gift comes into manifestation is unique. It's a unique manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to you by God. It's a gift to you. Secondly, it's personal. The gift is yours to give. You know, sometimes when you give a Christmas present to someone you really feel loads about, you'll wrap it up, won't you? You buy it. You won't just give it. Here you go. You don't give it to them in the shop wrapper. You know, you take it home. You wrap it up. Maybe you put a bow on it. Maybe you put a little gift card on there. Write something nice and you present it to them. It's a very personal thing. But that's what it is for you when you have this gift. It's a personal thing. It's something that it's yours to give. It's a gift. The gift is yours to give, just like a special Christmas gift is. When you come to church and you serve, when you come to church and you song lead, when you come to church and you lead in communion, it's a special gift that you are given. It's very personal to you. And thirdly, it's significant. The gift that God gave you can make a difference in someone's life. And finally, it's your contribution. It's the gift that you can voluntarily give. It's something that you make a decision to give. It's a very unique and personal thing. It's a contribution that you make. You know, essentially a gift is one way for you to communicate with the world, isn't it? It's a voice. It's one way for you to speak to the world. I speak to the world through the ability to be financially astute. Or I speak to the world with my ability to play basketball. I'm communicating. I can play this. And people go, wow, look at him. And that's your voice. You're speaking to the world. So let's ask ourselves, where does our talent lie? Because I think we need to think about our gift in three particular ways. Firstly, we need to think about our talent. What is it that we are uniquely able to do? Ask yourself, what is your natural, God-given strength and ability that is unique to you? We all bring unique gifts to the church. We are each unique. So ask yourself, what is it that you are good at? It might be, you might be really good at encouraging people. People might say to you when it's your birthday and you have a time of sharing, they say, you're the most encouraging person I know. That is a gift right there. It may be sharing your faith. You just wouldn't dream of coming to church without having a visitor with you. You share yourself all the time, share your faith all the time, and you have such a great impact on people. It may be sharing your faith. It may be in service, serving other people. It may be leading other people. It may be loving others. It may be listening to others. Some of these gifts aren't really thought of very highly, are they? But the gift of listening to someone is such a powerful thing. For someone to have your attention. For someone to know that you're focused on what they're saying and you're taking a keen interest is a powerful message that you are giving to them. It may be the gift of administration. It's not mine, that one. There it is. Put it out there. It may be technology. Growing in that gift. I'm sort of discovering I've got some sort of gift in there with friends like James and Ross, I'm developing my skill in technology. It may be teaching. It may be preaching. It may be song leading. Ask yourself right now, what is it? What is your gift? It may be making tea in the fellowship break. That's a gift. That's a gift. Don't disparage it, because I love it when someone hands me a hot cup of sweet tea. It fills my heart with joy. If you're not sure, spend time this week asking someone that knows you well, what am I good at? But don't just ask anybody. Find someone that will be honest with you. Because you know what? You might have been spending all of your time majoring in the wrong gift. You might think you're great at something, but actually, no one else thinks you are. That's why you need to find that honest person who's prepared to say, you know what? You've been doing the wrong thing all this time. Let's try this now. You're really good at that. You're really good at the other. Find someone honest to talk to you. And I would encourage you to make the most of that this week. Make the most of that even today. Make the most of that in the next few days so that we don't lose the zeal and we can start fulfilling the purpose that we have. You know, we need to ask ourselves another question. Where does our passion lie? See, I have a passion for basketball, but the passion and talent spectrum have disappeared a little bit. My talent's lowering. I'm still passionate about it, but they don't intersect anymore the way they used to. I used to be passionate and talented at it. I'm not as it was anymore. Well, think to yourself, what is it that really excites you? What do you do without being prompted? When you do this thing, whatever it is, time just flies by because you're enjoying yourself so much. Something that gives you deep satisfaction when you do it. That's finding out where your passion lies. And if your passion and your talent intersect, that's when you could be most effective. It's like a good combination of food, isn't it? It's like custard and apple strudel. I mean, that's just a great combination. When I get wallpapering, Roisin will tell you, when I get wallpapering, I just don't stop. I'm just giving another roll. Just keep going until the job's done. Time flies. I just get into it. What is it that you are passionate about? And when your passion and when your talent have intersected, ask yourself finally, where is the need? Where is the need? Once you've recognized your talent and the talent that you're passionate about, time to start asking, what need can I meet with my gift? You see, some people are passionate about making bombs. But there's not much use for bomb makers in the church, amen? So you've got to think to yourself, well, am I effective? Is there some way for me to use my gift to meet our needs? Seriously, most natural gifts that we are passionate about can glorify God, can edify the church, can meet needs. Your gift may have led you to become an educator. You know, if you're an educator, there's plenty of needs that you can meet in a church. One of them, just off the top of my head, is teaching the children. You know, just something that you are able to educate, communicate with the children. Maybe you are good in the area of finances. There's plenty of needs to meet in the area of finances. If you're good at that, there's plenty of people that need help in being good at their finances. So there's needs that you can meet in doing that. Maybe you have the gift of being an athletic or an outdoorsy type of person. Someone just loves the outdoors, just loves jogging, loves going out running. You know, some people love it, especially children being active, love being outside, love enjoying it, being athletic. Your gift could be doing that, but communicating the gospel to the people you do it with by showing others how to be godly and active. I love playing football as a Christian because, you know, there's so many things that the world does when they play football that you just wouldn't do as a Christian. If the ball's out, the ball's out. That's the truth. And if it's out, I'll say so. It's out. I'll put it out. Or if I foul someone, I'll say, I fouled them. There's no disputing. Yep, I fouled them. End of story. You know, there's a big difference between worldly, using our gift in a worldly sense and using our gift in a spiritual sense. Your gift may have led you to become a housewife or a mother. And if this is you, you can meet a great need by being hospitable. You can show Christ's love lived out in the home. Your gift may have led you to become a small business owner. You know, putting Jesus first in business is such an important thing for this world right now. Capitalism does not necessarily mean greed. You can have an ethical business. And you can also, if you do own your own business, maybe you can be benevolent to those that are in need. All of us are gifted in some way. All of us, therefore, can give back. And you know, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm not just talking about each time we meet on a Sunday or on a Friday or in family group, but in your community too. Are you using your gift in the community that God has given you to live in? Because that's a way of you expressing the gospel around you. Ask yourself, how can your gift be used to meet that need? Think about three things as you start digesting the things we've talked about today. Think these three things: to see and to do and to become. By seeing it, you spend time initially becoming aware of your gift, becoming aware of what it is that you are good at. And then you begin doing it. You begin actually living in God's intent for you. You begin fulfilling that purpose. By doing, you begin developing and using your gift. You find the need. You meet the need. And finally, the process is that you become. It becomes you. It becomes what you do. I am that person. I'm really good at it, and I'm going to continue to meet needs doing it. It becomes part of who you are. Think about all our Scottish inventors, and think about the way they changed the world, not just by discovering their gift, but by using their gift. And by inventing amazing things that have changed the world as a result of it. What will the result of you discovering your God-given gift be? When you use it for him and when you use it for God's church. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you because we are the beneficiaries of your amazing love. Not only do you give us salvation, Father, but we are also gifted. We also have abilities. And Father, you want us to live a fulfilling life, God, living life to the full. And Father, you want us to find out what our gifts are so that we can use them and we can feel the satisfaction that you give us by doing so. Help us to find out where our true gifts and our true talents lie. Maybe we found our true gifts and true talents, yet we're not meeting needs with them. I pray that today we can find out where we can do that. I pray that we can find talent where our passion intersects with it. We can feel excited about fulfilling this gift in our lives. Help us to see the uniqueness of our gifts. Help us to see the power that you can have through us when we use our gift. Allow us to always give you the glory for the gift that you give us. And allow us always, God, to use that gift for your glory. Help us see the needs around us. See where our gifts can be most effectively used. Let us always remember that our gifts come from you, our loving, benevolent God. We praise you, God, for loving us so much that not only you give us eternity with you in heaven, but you also give us a way to have a fulfilling life down here on earth. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.